In today's episode of Club Respect, we meet Brenda Hilton, the founder and CEO of Officially Human, whose mission is to restore respect to and generate positive treatment of sports officials and recognise them as authorities on the fields and courts. It's great to catch a thought leader in the space. Hi, Brenda.
Hi there. How are you today? Thank you so much for having me on here. I know that we're, you know, in different parts of the world, but we all seems like we all serve the same common mission.
Officially Human, what a wonderful name.
Thank you. Now, there's a little bit of a debate inside the Hilton four walls as to where the name came from, but I do have to give my husband credit because I had something like Humanly Official, the person behind the stripes. And so he said, well, what about Officially Human? And he worked on the logo. He did a lot. He did all the work with the logo. So I do have to give Tim credit for that.
Awesome. That's great. Tell us how you came to create it. You know, what did you see? What were your trigger points?
Sure. So I started in collegiate athletics in officiating anything off the courts and fields. I want to make sure the audience knows that I have never, ever, ever worn a set of stripes except for one time at a Halloween party. I was really, really intrigued with everything that went into officiating from how they assigners found officials, how they recruited them, how they retained them, how they trained them. And over the years, I just watched and heard horror stories of the treatment getting worse and worse and worse. And one day, 2019, I was sitting at my kitchen table and I wrote a business plan. It was really bad, but came back the next day and told my husband what I was thinking about doing. And I'll be honest with you, Patrick, I haven't had one person tell me I'm crazy. So the need is there. The attention is growing. So if there's a problem, you can run from it or you can run to it.
Yes, couldn't agree more. And you don't have to go further than social media to see the problem you're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the other interesting thing that I talk about a lot is 95% of these competitions go on without any incident. However, it's that 5% that is so incredibly dangerous to and detrimental to youth, high school, college sports. Of course, you don't have those problems as much at the high school and pro levels, but these behaviors, they're being learned at a very young age. So youth sports, this is where this is being learned. And if that's where so much of the focus for Officially Human is getting to youth organizations and getting them to understand if we can just spread a message and let everybody know, educate people, what is really going on and how detrimental it is to our youth for years to come, then we're going to do something right.
So what would you say is Officially Human's focus?
The focus is to educate, bring awareness to parents at the youth and high school level to get them to understand that this is a global problem. And if we don't start to turn this treatment around and respect everybody, not just officials, but respect everybody, these competitions are going to go away. I mean, the number of competitions are far greater than the number of officials available.
It's a worldwide crisis. Now, I went through the last year of your social media, and it was a pretty sobering scroll. There's so many disturbing stories on there. In Nebraska, a baseball catcher deliberately moves the steps aside so a fastball pitch hits an umpire. In Iowa, official assaulted by a fan at a 3-on-3 tournament. Child referees getting accosted in parking lots. Massachusetts hockey complaining about a severe referee shortage, and one official needed a police escort after a game featuring 8-year-olds. So you got three factors: the pandemic, low pay, and verbal and physical abuse has triggered an exodus of referees from youth sports. There are ref shortages across the nation. Registrations are down. Refs are becoming an endangered species. Is there a bigger crisis in American sports?
You know, I think there's a bigger crisis around the world. We are just not we're just not a very nice society right now. I think that's one of the bigger things that I think Officially Human would like to factor is just let's think about all of our actions before they do them. I was on a call this morning with an organization out of North Carolina, and we were talking about what happens if 95% of the people in an arena, if 95% of them are really good, and we remove that 5%, the environment is so much better. So how do we get organizations to A, have what it takes to remove these people. What is the penalty going to be for these people? The group that you were talking about, the baseball game where the catcher moved out of the way, that team has been suspended for the rest of the tournament. They can't participate in any more of that organization's tournaments. Other organizers have reached out to that group to say, hey, who is this? What are we going to do? You know, we're not going to allow them at our tournaments either. But Patrick, you and I are smart enough to know that all they have to do is put somebody else's name on the roster.
Yeah.
And that coach can still be there. So it's really trying to get people to understand, okay, this is a problem. We have to start talking about it.
You can't solve it if you don't talk about it is a fundamental, isn't it? That across the world in match officials, it's this black spot that it's hard to get people talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I presented at a consortium this week, and my topic was, we have to do better. And when I went up on stage, I said, all right, I just want everybody in the room to know that I might offend some of you. And I just want you to leave this room and I want you to think. I don't want you to get mad at me, but I really want to provoke thinking here. And when I say this, I'm going to say, would any of you in this room work for the same game fee for 6 years? 6 years. We want people to work for the same pay. Yet everything around us is going up in cost. And, you know, our kids get older, they get more expensive. That's number one. Number two, do we have to look holistically at the assigning process and see maybe we need to blow this thing up? And that's hard because people don't want to have those conversations. They just don't want to have those conversations. During the pandemic, I did quite a few podcasts and I have my own theory and I could be completely wrong. So I think that the pandemic did more harm to so many people. And when I talk about that, I say, all right, now you have a mom and dad who may not necessarily agree that they want their child, one of them wants their child to play, the other doesn't. They've lost 1 to 2 years of competition. So parents now think that when they go to these youth events, it is live or die. It is collegiate scholarship is on the line for a U10 baseball game. And now we got mom and dad arguing. And what happens? Who are they going to take their frustrations out on? It's going to be the umpire every single time.
It's an interesting theory, the pandemic one. It's happened across all the sports down here where I would naturally think that parents would be more appreciative of something that was taken away.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really seen any of that. I've seen a lot of angst projected. I've been doing a sport by sport analysis. And yeah, we've seen the same thing. I'm really interested because we look at America as the peak of competitive sport in the world. Is there anything cultural there that American parents are brought up in that dog-eat-dog world? To make it to the top in America in any key industry, you have to have come through an incredible pathways to become great in music or to become a great lawyer. Down at grassroots level, does that competitive spirit really just overflow to the parent?
It does. In my humble opinion, it does. I will be the first to admit that when our son, back when he was in high school, and you go to those games, those AAU games, and you watch these people. And I mean, sometimes I would even get caught up in it. And then I'm like, wait a second. If my child is going to play in college, it's because of what he does, the work he does on the court. I can't do that for him. That's gotten lost. Anybody you talk to says, oh yeah, we're all living through our kids now. However, we're actually doing so much damage because we're putting such immense pressure on these kids. And then the other thing I think about is just because you paid a fee for your child to be on a team does not give you the right to berate coaches, other parents, and especially the officials. But somehow people think they have a right to do that.
So you've done some wonderful research. Officially Human conducted a survey of officials in 15 states in all sports at the high school level and below. A big sample size, which is what I like, 18,000, almost 19,000 respondents. So what were the highlights of that study?
There's a couple glaring things that we really want people to focus on. And people don't realize this, 70% of our respondents do officiating for the love of the game. And that gets so lost. The second stat is I think it was 55% were over the age of 55. Well, that group is now 58. The most glaring stat to me is only 12% of those 19,000 were under the age of 34. We have so much work to do. And that was pre-pandemic. We don't know how many of those didn't come back. The other interesting thing, Patrick, when we started writing the questions for this survey, we didn't know what the response rate would be. We had no idea. And I'm kind of a freak. So I was sitting here and we would send out a survey to a state and I would just watch on SurveyMonkey and watch these results come in. What do you do with 19,000 responses? You surround yourself with really smart people that can break down the data. Probably the biggest thing out of all of it, though, is those officials wanted a voice. They wanted a voice. You don't get 19,000 responses just because they're bored, because it was 53 questions. And isn't it funny how long it takes for survey data to get attention? But it's really starting to get a little more attention now.
You know, I'm really interested in why officials leave. In the top two reason is verbal abuse from fans and coaches. It's more than 50% in both those numbers. And I found that you've so clearly got data on the problem there. Why do we have this level of aggression that we can't see, that you can't play? Your kid won't be able to play without this essential service that's being provided to your kids. What is it in us that is so self-sabotaging?
I think all of us are competitive in nature. Keep in mind, probably 95% of the people are pretty good people. But if you have a game of three basketball officials and there's a couple of fans that just won't leave them alone and you lose one of those officials, to your point, it's coming. The reality is games are now getting canceled a lot in the United States. So teams are going to start not being able to participate in these big tournaments because there's just not going to be officials. And I think we're probably still a couple of years away from this really, really happening. However, it's coming. That's what's going to happen is people all of a sudden are going to say, well, wait a second, why can't we play this weekend? I was down at the NCAA Final Four a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to the head of officiating for Louisiana High School Association. And he said that his top assigner, so their most competitive baseball, he makes 8 to 10 calls a week. Half of those calls are to head coaches saying, you can't play a baseball game tomorrow because I don't have umpires for you. And the other half is you can only play with one umpire. So now we're putting one umpire on a field by him or herself. And that risk is even greater.
And I want to congratulate you. You've created a wonderful, clever ad and the best I've seen in trying to create empathy for match officials. And the ad is people are standing up in a music recital and abusing the kids that are playing the instruments and the conductor just like they would in a sporting field. It's in a quiet, alternate environment. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful ad to build empathy about how ridiculous these parents sound. And why is the sporting field a unique place where abuse is permissible?
That's a great question. And when I have the answer to it, I hope I'm a millionaire.
Yeah.
The other problem is, what are we teaching our youth when we are so upset at a game that we're arguing with the people around us, you know, our significant other, we're arguing over a call at a U9 baseball game?
Yeah.
In what planet are we living? I think the other thing that has to be talked about, and it's kind of the elephant in the room a lot, is our media. Our media doesn't necessarily help us when they are on TV and they've got 14 different views of one play and they can over scrutinize these officials and they say their names on national TV. And I'm talking at the collegiate level. They say their names on national TV and next thing you know, there's been death threats against collegiate officials. It's terrible.
And then at the pro level, you've got people gambling and losing money.
Well, and now you can gamble at the collegiate level.
Yeah. So you've got extra angry people who believe the referee had an outcome in them losing $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, $500,000.
Right. The other thing I think about a lot too is, when did it become so incredibly competitive that we forgot about the social aspect? Where did that get lost in all of this? We can't even lose gracefully now. We don't want anybody to lose. We are attending a softball tournament at the end of June. Right now there's 1,100 teams registered for this softball tournament.
Wow.
And when you think about that, there's going to be a winner and loser at every single game. That's what it is. And so if you're losing 15-1 and you get mad over a call and you ruin the next two games for your kids because you've embarrassed yourself, maybe your team gets kicked out. This is what we're doing. And this is real stuff. This happens. And so when we go to this tournament, I'm going to have the opportunity to talk to all the coaches in the room, talking to all the game managers about all of this. Just take a step back.
I think even more than captains, coaches are the most important because the coach is the only one that has any sway over an errant parent. Would you agree? Mm-hmm.
I would. However, it's really hard because if a parent is paying $1,000 for their kid they've tried out for this travel team and they're on this team, they think they have a right to tell the coach what to do. It's hard. It's a big problem on every single level. Well, hockey over here, we have a friend, they pay $12,000 to $15,000 a year to play hockey. It's insane. It's crazy.
So I'm interested on a sport-by-sport basis. Just run through some sports, and if you can just tell me what are the unique things, who are the worst. We've got hockey, basketball, baseball, American football, and soccer. Who's the real problem child?
I don't have hard facts on this. I just have my experience. I would say that baseball is really, really, really hard. The theory behind that from my experts in the field is the time between pitches and the proximity you can get right up on the fence. So you can stand at the fence and yell and scream at the umpire. Basketball, I hear a lot about that because the bleachers are right on the floor. So some of the smaller gymnasiums, you don't have a lot of space. Sometimes you're walking, you're tripping over people to get down the sidelines of a basketball court. Football fans are just, they're very, very intense. I don't see those abuse cases as much as I do as in basketball and baseball. Soccer seems to be worse there than it does here.
Would you say that the culture in baseball where the coach can actually go out and they do that sort of chesty shouting at each other, which seems to be putting people on the verge of a physical fight when you're in each other's face, you know, shouting as loudly as you can. Do you think that contributes to this in baseball as well?
Yes, absolutely. There's an organization down in Indianapolis, and at their baseball tournaments, they actually painted a circle outside of the dugout. Or if a parent has a question on a call, they have to go to that circle, and then somebody from game management will eventually get there and answer that question. So that has seemed to help them a little bit, not a lot. The thing right now, though, and I worry about this, when you talk about this officiating shortage in all of these sports, what's going to happen when we start elevating people to games they're not ready to work because we don't have the people to work? That's going to just cause another layer of anger with parents.
Yeah, there's going to be lower quality officiating because you've just got less people in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So you've actually got an online program called Elevate Respect, which is an mm-hmm. online education series with short lessons for parents and fans to go through. Clubs can register for that program. Tell us about Elevate Respect and the wins and how that's gone.
So the program consists of 6 mini lessons. It takes 2 to 3 minutes to go through each one. And it is not narrated on purpose because we want people to engage in the program. So it walks you through the sport ecosystem in various areas. So one area is the treatment of officials. What's the consequences when you go up to a soccer referee that's 12 years old and yell and scream at them? What's going to happen if we don't get more referees and officials in the game? One section talks about everybody's role. What is your role? What's the parent role? What's the fan role? What's the administrator's role? And that coupled with, so if an organization signs up and they say, we want 50% of our parents to go through that, after they get 50%, then that organization is considered officially human certified and they can hang banners and they can hand out things. But really what it is, it's an awareness campaign to get people to understand this is what is really going on in the world of youth sports. I'll tell you, Patrick, we were intentional went to pilot this. We have some friends that might not necessarily have always been nice to officials. And we gave everybody that piloted the program the chance to give us feedback. This feedback from this person said, "I'm appalled at the way I act. I had no idea how I was affecting youth sports." That person is now a champion for Officially Human. So it's going to be one person at a time. We now all have to go through IT. We have to go through cybersecurity training. We have to go through sexual harassment. Coaches, a lot of them have to go through concussion training. We see this as another element of training.
Respect training.
I always have this notion. I want to be in your face without really being in your face. I want you to go through this program and I just want you to absorb it. And again, we did it on purpose that it's not a push and play, because I've worked with NCAA coaches long enough. I know what they do to those videos. They hit play and they walk away. So we were intentional in the way we did it. We wanted to be engaging. And there are some questions on there that you have to answer. It's not a pass fail. Everybody passes. And then we have basketball rules and baseball rules that we put together, just a list of 10 of the most common misunderstood rules.
There's a universal creed that no one should be abused at their workplace. So how is this not a workplace issue, the abuse of referees?
That's a great question, Patrick. That is a great question that we try to wrap our arms around every day. And not only that, we're abusing 12 to 18-year-olds. Forget the adults, 12 to 18-year-olds that are trying to make a little extra money and they'll leave. It's like 80% leave in the first 2 years. 80%.
What makes adults, abusive child referees, not bullying when everywhere else bullying is being amplified? Why isn't that seen as bullying?
Well, I think a lot of it is, how do you manage it? Because you're at a tournament in Des Moines, Iowa, you bully somebody, but then you go back to Missouri, to your home. It was 2019, where one of the, I don't know if it was Nike or Adidas, one of their high level AAU basketball tournaments, they actually had bouncers on every single court. But not every tournament is going to invest that money in that. So they would rather take the chance, gamble on not having any incidents, than have incidents and save that money. I think a lot of this, Patrick, it truly comes down to money. We have talked to several organizations across the world about Elevate Respect. And there's a lot of times it comes down to money. In the workplace, we have to be very, very careful of everything we say now. But as soon as you get to a competition, you can say whatever you want. It doesn't matter how many kids are around. You can swear as much as you want. And you're just like, for what?
And my next question, mental health. It's starting to rear its head among referees that not only are people being abused and not feeling good, it's actually crystallizing into mental health issues. How's that playing out in America?
You know, I haven't followed that quite as much. However, what I will say to that is, when we talk about mental health, and I heard this week, somebody said, let's change mental health to mind health. And that's fine. What does it do to your child when your parent is there, always the person screaming at the officials and maybe other parents? It's such a global problem when we talk about mental and mind health that it's, I think for officials, they'll just quit working it. They'll just stop officiating. It's not worth the $25. So for that, I don't know if it's quite as much as that, because they'll just leave the craft. But so, I worry more about the kids that have to endure this every single day, every single weekend when they go to play.
And I just find that amazing. And it leads to the next one, which is a more modern problem. People not abusing on the field, but abusing through social media.
Yeah. Well, I know that there's a lot of organizations that tell their officials that they cannot be on social media because of that. And you think about it, when I was in the basketball world, the officials would always say, the great thing about basketball is there's another game the next day. So it, you know, you're there, you're gone, you're there, you're gone. However, in a sport like football, where there's only one game a week, that abuse can can go on for a whole week until you get to the next game. So it depends on the number of games, competitions that are going on. But yes, that is a very serious problem as well. Is social media is just the devil for us anyway, right?
Government intervention. If the threat of an assault charge hasn't deterred some people from attacking an official, maybe there needs to be laws and state legislatures passing laws to protect officials. So it's really got some teeth. Is there any talk of that?
There are a few states that are talking about that. I think the problem, or maybe the hurdle, is oftentimes these abuses aren't reported. So then that same parent, you know, can go to the next week and then do it to a different one. And what is really going to happen? Because if it takes 6 months, 2 years for somebody to get charged and whatever their sentence is, well, sometimes then it's like, is that really helping us? Because if the person just has a charge pending and they can still go to games, they still have access to the official. Sometimes the officials don't want to, they just want it to go away.
Yeah. And by prolonging it through mm-hmm. a judiciary environment is actually prolonging the pain for them. They want to keep moving. Yeah, that's a really interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
Body cams. What are your thoughts? Is the debate happening that this may improve accountability, that these exchanges between players and referees are captured? What are your thoughts?
I don't have a great deal of knowledge on that other than what we do in football, and there is some. I think, again, when we talk about something like body cams, you think about the cost that it takes to have the technology. Are clubs really going to invest in that, to have those antennas, whatever they need, at their remote locations? I don't know. Maybe someday. I don't know how it's going to be in the next 5 years, though.
What have you found has worked? What's working? Is there anything out there that you can point to that's getting traction in what you're doing and what you've seen more broadly?
The one thing I'm doing is I'm forcing conversation. I'm forcing uncomfortable conversations. I will talk to anybody that will talk to me about this subject to bring more light to it. I also have a really good social media person. He's done really well for me. But just going to conferences and talking to people, any athletic director I can talk to, any state association I can talk to, it's creating the conversation and creating awareness. You'll see a press release come out this week that we just signed our first major partner. They are taking this problem very, very seriously, and we're going to do some good things with them. And most of it is an awareness building campaign.
Is there any silver bullet that will move the needle?
You know, PSAs are great, but they're 30 seconds. And they go away. So in my perfect world, I would have not only Elevate Respect, I would have some other online learning tools that people have to go through. And I would have the Officially Human logo everywhere. We are an Officially Human certified gymnasium. We are an Officially Human organization. We believe in the positive treatment of officials and everybody around you. We take this seriously. Now, again, you can say unruly fans will be removed, but if you don't remove them on the first time, they're just going to know that they can keep acting like that. But awareness, awareness, awareness. And I think I said it earlier, I want to be in your face without being in your face.
So I've read online there's lots of good feedback about presentations that you give. I'd love you to give me the first minute or two of a presentation when you've got a bunch of people in there who don't think there's a problem or don't think this is a priority. You know, you've got to win people over in that first 1 or 2 minutes. Hit me with what you would say to them.
Awesome. Good afternoon. My name is Brenda Hilton with Officially Human. I founded Officially Human to humanize sport officials across the nation and around the world. Those of you in this room, if you don't understand or know that there is a problem with the shortage of officials, I'm here to tell you that it is very real. Someday, one day, in the very near future, you are going to go to one of your child's competitions. You will be short referees. You may be short one, or you may not have a competition. I'm telling you, it's real. I'm in this space. I've been in it for 22 years. It is a real problem. And I want everybody in this room to think about it and think about solutions.
What an amazing pitch. Thank you so much for your time. And congratulations on a fantastic job you're doing. Wonderful stuff.
Thank you. Thank you.